Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Patrick Lencioni. I'm your host today. I'm joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great.
By Tracy Noble. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing great, Pat. Thanks.
And we've got one of our other co-founders with Tracy, Amy Hyatt, with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Amy, you know, this podcast is partly because of you, because you used to listen to one about the Myers-Briggs a lot, Personality Hacker or something
Right.
And we didn't think we were ever going to do one, but people kept saying, wow, there's so many nuances to this. So we decided to do this. So it's good to have you on it.
I'm a junkie for all these kinds of things. So
I am too. I love diving deep into these kind of personality tools.
Right. I thought you were going to say that I was the inspiration for this podcast because I'm not a G, and I noticed we're going to talk about that here in a minute.
That's right. Yeah, that's right too. All right. We're going to talk about Cody, what's our title today?
The title is The Genius of Meetings.
That's right. But it has two different meanings.
That's right.
Okay, meetings are good to have, so there's genius. But it's really like every different kind of meeting is associated with a different kind of genius. And we, depending on our genius, tend to hijack meetings and make them what fits our genius.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into this, I want to just go over with people that we at the Table Group prescribe four kinds of meetings for an executive team or a leadership team of any kind. And so really quickly, one is called the daily check-in, where you just get together for 5 minutes, you stand up, you go into a room and you talk about administrivia, what's going on that day, what's everybody working on. Really simple. Another one is called the weekly tactical, which is a staff meeting where you go and you talk about what are our goals, how are we doing, what do we need to do to solve any near-term problems so that next week is better than this week. The next one we call a strategic ad hoc meeting, which is a big hairy topic where you just talk about that topic and you solve problems and you brainstorm. And the last one would be the quarterly offsite, where you get away from the office, you step back and you kind of review how are things going, what's happening in the world and in our market and all those things. Well, after we came up with the Working Genius model, we realized each of these meetings appeals differently to different people depending on their genius.
Yeah, I actually, when the day we had the aha moment around this, I was like thrilled. I got super excited because this meeting model we've been using for years. And then when we started analyzing it as it relates to the genius, it's not just that it appeals to people with that genius, that these meetings actually necessitate certain types of conversations that appeal to those geniuses.
You know? And it makes sense, Cody, because the working genius is about getting work done. And that's exactly what meetings are for.
Right.
It's how we get work done. So it's a beautiful marriage.
Yes.
Do you remember when that happened? Like, how did you figure it out? Was it you guys, were you in a meeting together?
I don't think it was in a meeting together. I think we were just out here at our desk, our little pod of desk, and someone had written in about a meeting that they were opting out of now. So someone who was like someone who had the genius of invention was, it was actually Pat and I were on a podcast and the host of the podcast said,
oh, was that pastor?
Yeah. He said, you know, what's crazy is after finding out that I'm an inventor, I used to be in every meeting leading up to these big events. And I realized that I started frustrating my staff the 2 weeks leading up to the event. I had to extract myself from the meeting because I was reinventing things.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So they're leading up to this event and he is using his genius at that moment and saying, oh, I have a new idea. And they're like, no room for new ideas
right.
here.
And time that's the thing. Not every genius is appropriate at every meeting.
Totally.
And then we immediately thought of that. So we're going to go through the meetings and talk about what kind of person naturally enjoys that kind of meeting. And the first one, the big picture meeting, the one where you step back and think about things, is called the quarterly offsite.
Yep.
And the person who loves that meeting is generally a person with a genius of wonder and invention, because they get to just step back and say, whoa, what's going on in the world? How does this affect us? Maybe we should think differently.
Totally.
That's my favorite. Yeah. And
I know you love that, right?
Right.
And there's some people, when you think like, hey, our quarterly offsite, we're going to go out of our office for 2 days, and we're just going to step back from all of our daily activities and our emails and all of that, and we're going to think about, are we addressing the right market? Are we serving our customers well?
Are we living our values?
Are we living up to our potential?
Right. One of the big things. And you know who hates these meetings? GTs.
Right.
GTs. They're like, can we just get stuff done?
Totally.
And people will say that. We work with executive teams and people with GT will go like, oh, I hate these damn things.
Like Connor, your son is like, he just comes out with it. Like, I hate these meetings. I don't want to be in here.
Yeah. He'll even say in one of those meetings where we're doing ideation and stepping back, he's like, I don't think I'm adding any value. Do you guys care if I leave? You know, whereas the quarterly offsite, right. Amy, I mean, this is you live for these. You love the quarterly offsites.
I love this. I think I turn every meeting into a W meeting though, I realize.
Well, we all do. We all turn meetings into the thing. If we're not intentional and conscious of our bias.
That's so true.
And so, So Connor is like, brainstorming? Are we brainstorming?
Sorry. This would have been good to know a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When we start brainstorming a meeting, Connor goes, let me know when this is over and you need something to be done.
Right. So I love this framework because the quarterly offsite really is for just those things, which is let's take a step back. Let's look at the environment. The W, the wonder, loves that opportunity to say, ask questions. Are we solving the right thing? Are we maximizing our potential? And then the inventor, Pat, and you're an inventor. You get to take that question and go, oh, let's think about this.
Right.
And there's...
I do love offsites.
Right.
Not where we catch each other falling out of a tree or hug or all that touchy-feely stuff, but I love
We get a lot figured out.
We do.
And we talk about it a lot, like you have to slow down to go fast. What I've noticed too is sometimes there's this tendency for us to dismiss, you know, we talk about the W as the person that's like, man, they don't even realize it's a genius and how necessary quarterly offsites are for companies.
Huge.
That when we go a quarter or two without one, we start to feel it. And we need to take a step back and actually pay attention to those questions.
Right. I think just yesterday, I'm like, I think it's time for an offsite.
Totally.
Right. Exactly.
So the next type of meeting.
The next type is what we call the strategic ad hoc meeting. That's like a big hairy topic comes up. There's a big threat to the business or a big opportunity or something that needs to change. And it's like around one topic. We're not W-ing, we're not wondering. We know that there's a problem to solve and we need to go do it. I live for these kind of meetings. This is what the inventor discerner loves.
Yep.
Because it's literally wrestling with an idea. Is this the right idea? Let's give feedback. Let's brainstorm. Let's throw it against the wall. And then let's wrestle it to the ground.
And we talked just recently about fulfillment and joy as this is your genius. Like you even sometimes in your speech described this as, hey, there's this meeting is going to take 3 hours. Let's get some pizza and some beer and get in a room and really figure this out. There are no meetings I love more as the discerner to go like, I love getting in that room and knowing that when we walk out of there, we're going to have refined, we'll have gone through that invention discerner loop enough that we're going to have an answer to that question or we're going to be able to tackle that problem.
I just came out of one of those meetings just to come in here and it was mostly a discernment meeting, but it was a strategic meeting about some marketing stuff. And we just listed all the things we needed to discern. Mm. And then we went through them one by one. It was so clear and so easy.
And fun.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be for everybody. Right. You know, I tend to, and I realize over the last 23 years, you guys, I've turned all of our staff meetings into those kind of meetings.
I was just going to say that. I feel like that's all we do here at the table group, which is so much fun. But we live for these types of meetings.
But sometimes we go to a meeting where we're supposed to just be like doing that. And we'll get to that next meeting. It's just tactical, get things done.
Sure.
And I'm like, hey, let's reinvent.
Right.
And it's like, Pat, be quiet. You know, maybe you should tape your mouth right now and let us get something done.
Well, we all do that, like you said.
And it does speak to how comfortable you feel in those meetings. There are some people who are the GTs still in this type of meeting are like, hey, when is 3 hours sounds like a lot of time. Can we get back to our work? We got real, you know, this is the phrase, we got real work to do, people, you know, like as if this isn't the real work, but it just doesn't lend themselves to their genius. And so what's great is in addition to knowing that these meetings correspond to certain geniuses, is we have language. Now, like you just mentioned, Amy, that we can say, what are we doing here in this meeting? We're actually I-ing and D-ing here. So you can kind of like sink into the cushions a little bit around that and go like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about the galvanizing enablement tenacity side. Right now we're staying on this side.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Amy and her team at Kappa Pro, one of our programs, they brought me into a meeting today and they said, we want you to I and D this. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast. But it took the first 20 minutes just to frame up what we were going to talk about. That's why when people can't just do that in 15 minutes, it's like, no, we don't even know exactly the problem. We need to really get clear on what the problem is.
The question I ask now is what kind of meeting is this? And what are we trying to do?
Right. And I love what you say.
Lots of W's in there.
And if you say to me, Pat, come to this meeting, we have to tease some things, I'm going to go, oh, okay, I'll do it. But I'm not going to enjoy it.
You're not in that meeting.
Yeah, usually you don't even invite me, which I appreciate.
Let's move to the next one.
That's the what we call the weekly tactical or the staff meeting. This is the meeting you have every week where you sit down and everybody goes, okay, everybody, how are we doing? How are we doing against our goals? Are they green, yellow, red? What should we do? What are the problems that are coming up? And we have to solve them this week. What tweaks do we have to make? What are we going to get done? Yeah, this is not where you're supposed to brainstorm like I do or to come up with a new idea. You're supposed to work with what you got and execute.
And I think it's actually super helpful to put this in context of our model, our other model around the rallying cry, right? Because most often when we're spending our time in the quarterly offsite, we're coming up with the new rallying cry, which means that we're asking the question, we're coming up with the right answer. What is the next big thing over the next 6 to 9 months? Mm-hmm. So we've already W'd it, we've I'd it, we've decided it's the right rallying cry. And weekly tactical meetings, we put the rallying cry up in front of us and we go GET on it. We're like galvanized. Okay, we've already decided this is the most important thing. Now, what are we doing to execute against
this? Yes, the context is created. We don't question the context, operate within that context. And that's where galvanizing, enabling, and tenacity is critical.
Totally. And what's funny is—
I love that too. It spells get. Yeah. Get things done.
I think it's get right. Shit done.
Oh, my God.
Our first swear word, only 3 episodes in, Amy. Wow. Well,
when Nate, one of our consultants, used that at a client who they had only WIDs on their team. And he goes, this is your problem. You don't GET.
Get stuff done. Yeah, that's great. So I think it's interesting too, because you as a W, Amy, mm-hmm. when we're in weekly tactical meetings, sometimes W's will ask the question like, is this still the right thing? Are we still focusing? Like, is this still the right rallying cry? And it can like derail or discombobulate the people in that meeting. It's like, wait. We've already decided that this is the right thing. We're here to execute against this rallying cry. Now, what's great is sometimes that sparks the, oh, you're right. Maybe we should go back. Maybe we need to have a strategic meeting or a quarterly offsite to go back and say, we need a new rallying cry.
Right. I think oftentimes Amy's saying, is this still the right context?
Yes.
Which is really good. And then we go, yeah, it is. You go, okay, back to solving problems and getting stuff
just
done.
Making sure. But the other thing I was going to say is for years I ran our staff meetings and I don't have G. So I would just go in there and kind of WD my way through this meeting and it, you know, took a long time.
Now Cody takes
now
the
Cody's
role.
Cody's going to do it and push us. So it's great.
Which is great. It's actually really, mm-hmm. I never thought like, oh, I should run that meeting, but I like the G part of the meeting, mm-hmm. which is it's part, you know, getting people motivated by inspiration and calling people out and pushing people. And when you handed the reins over, I was like, I didn't know I would enjoy this much.
Thank goodness. You
know? Yeah, absolutely. The last kind of meeting is that daily check-in. That's where you get together for 5 minutes and just go, what are you working on today? Oh, tell so-and-so this. It's standing up. It's all about administrivia and short-term daily tactics. And we decided this is really the meeting that T's love.
Right.
Like, what are we going to get done today? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to brainstorm. I don't want to question it. I just want to know. And then we're going to go deliver.
And it's basically like a, what are you checking off your list today? Which is the T's love that, right?
That's right.
Right.
Well, yeah. And as I'm working with Connor, who's a T, and I'm a W, and I want to like come in and find out how his soul is doing that day. And he's like, just give me a list of things to do. Yeah. Not up for the conversation.
Isn't that crazy? The look on his face is like, what? What do you want? Exactly. I just went in there and he was like, yeah, can you leave me alone? I got a lot of work to do here.
Right. I know.
Wow,
like, okay.
You are a T.
But we're going to have to bring him on the next podcast. We've mentioned him multiple times.
I know. He's going to be famous.
He'd say, how long is it going to take?
That's right.
You're not going to make me brainstorm, are you? So meetings really do evolve or change based on who's running them, but we need to be intentional. And sometimes we need to actually just push against the grain on ourselves or opt out of that meeting.
Yeah. I think that what's interesting about this, the concept around the genius of meetings is one, that the model seems to fit it together, you know, pretty seamlessly with these 4 types of meetings. The second thing is when you're using the working genius language to help people contextualize what you're doing in a given meeting.
Right.
And that you're saying like, you know, now what we do really often, I'm a DG. Sometimes when I'm discerning something, it sounds like I'm galvanizing.
Right.
And I've gotten
you're
that
discerning
feedback
out loud.
Right. I'm discerning out loud. And people, for a while in my career, people were like, are you telling me to do this? And I'm like, no, sorry. I'm kind of brainstorming, but it sounds like I'm rallying the troops around this. And right. So Tracy will now literally, what do you say to me all the time?
Well, is this a D meeting? Is this a G meeting? What are you doing here?
Are you discerning? Or are you galvanizing me right now? And I get to go, oh yeah, sorry. I'm just discerning.
Right.
You know,
before we had that language, people would leave a meeting and think somebody told them to do something.
Yep.
And they were just like, no, I was just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
This happened to me all the time. And a lot of leaders go to meetings and think out loud and people scurry off and do what they said. And they were that was not a command. That was an I, not a G.
Totally.
By the way, I should correct. I just said something about sometimes we need to opt out of those meetings. Most of the time we don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. If you're on a team and you're having a tactical meeting, you don't get to go, I don't like tactics, I'm leaving. Everybody on the team has to be there. So I don't want this to be permission for people not to go to their team meetings. But sometimes in an organization, a person can actually say, hey, I'm going to delegate that to them because they're really good at that. They'll pull me in when they need my talents.
That's right. Yeah.
But generally speaking, we still have to go to those meetings. We just have to change our behavior there.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. It just gives you the language to know what's expected of you while you're there.
Right.
You still have to go.
I think the other thing we need to do is we need to find ways to pull other people into meetings where we need them. If we need a W and we have no W on the team, we need to go look for one.
Right. I love that point. And this is happening more and more as teams and companies are adopting Working Genius.
We're hearing a lot of people that are using the tool and they're doing this.
And it's incredible that they're saying like, it is breaking down the silos and the boundaries between certain teams or different departments. Cause they're like, hey, we're going to do this strategic meeting on this, you know, problem that we're trying to solve. And we don't have someone who has invention. Can we borrow you to come into this meeting? One, that person is thrilled that you're asking them because they get joy and energy from being an inventor. But then that team is better served because they're bringing someone in who's better and more gifted at what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
And it's not about expertise. It's just about people tapping into their genius.
Not about their role, their department. It's just literally they're naturally good at something and let them be good at that.
That's right.
And what's interesting is, you know, Amy, so you're a WD. And the person on the other kind of interesting thing around this meeting concept is that sometimes G's are the ones that call the meeting. You know, like you have Liam on your team, and sometimes you have to galvanize the meeting itself. Like, hey, we said we were going to talk about this. I hear Liam do this to your team all the time.
I love it.
He's like, does this afternoon still work for you? Can we do this right now?
Yeah, Amy.
Yeah, I remember in the early days we. Oddly enough, a company that we did offsites for other ones, we would go too long without them because nobody wanted to, everybody was like, well, they're too busy. They probably don't want to do one. And finally I would go, come on, we have to have an offsite. And now you're the one that's like, we're having a meeting. Let's do this.
Yep.
So we need to do that more.
So I think that one of the takeaways here is obviously, hey, if you're using the meeting model, which you should be, it really helps you avoid the meeting stew that we talk about.
And if you don't know what that is, there's a book called Death by Meeting. And it's also in The Advantage. If people are wondering, what the hell are they talking about? There's a book I wrote specifically about that model, the four kinds of meetings.
Right. And the way that Working Genius will allow teams to have more effective and to be in a meeting and realize, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Or if I'm a WT and we're in a T meeting, maybe I should push that W down just a little bit, just so we can accomplish what we're trying to accomplish in this working session. I think the day we discovered this and the consultants out there that are integrating this into the meetings, it's serving people in all the organizations that are adopting this sort of framework. It's really making their meetings better.
That's right. All right. Well, we should go because we have to have a meeting. We should probably decide what kind it's going to be. Knowing us, it'll just turn into a big strategic ad hoc meeting.
So. W for hire here.
There you go. Very good. We need to find a T. Connor's got to start coming to our meetings. Enough. All right. Thanks for joining us on this edition. Talking about the genius of meetings. We'll talk to you on the next podcast. God bless.